John Walden, Colorado Springs. We're glad you've joined us again for our studies in the book of the Revelation. If you'll turn to the 19th chapter, we're going to continue our study about the destruction of the last great religious alliance, the great ecumenical movement of our day, is predicted in the Word of God very clearly. We know exactly how it's going to end. When the Lord Jesus comes and takes home his own, Satan himself is going to inspire the joining together of all world religions. Religion without Christ is devilish. And the Lord Jesus himself founded the true church, which is composed of all believers, all truly born-again Christians. When they are gone, at the return of the Lord, the great world church will come into existence. After these things, I heard a great voice of much people in heaven saying, Alleluia, salvation and glory and honor and power unto the Lord our God. For true and righteous are his judgments, and he hath judged the great whore which did corrupt the earth with her fornication, and hath avenged the blood of his servants at her hand. We read about this in chapters 17 and 18. And again they said, Alleluia! And her smoke rose up forever and ever. Notice, friends, there is no such thing as annihilation taught in the Bible. Punishment is eternal, as well as happiness is eternal. And the 24 elders and the 4 beasts or living creatures fell down and worshiped God that sat on the throne, saying, Amen. Hallelujah. And a voice came out of the throne, saying, Praise our God, all ye his servants, and ye that fear him, both small and great. And I heard as it were the voice of a great multitude, and as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of many of mighty thunderings, saying, Alleluia, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. Omnipotent means all-powerful. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his wife, or his bride, has made herself ready. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousnesses, plural, of saints. And he saith unto me, Right blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he saith unto me, These are the true sayings of God. We have 2 contrasting suppers in Revelation 19. We reach this point now in our studies of the future, where we have come to the end of the Great Tribulation. And in this chapter is recorded more comments about the Battle of Armageddon, which will be fought in the Vale of Megiddo, northwest of Jerusalem. The Lord Jesus is going to come back to the earth. He came the first time as the Lamb of God to save. He's coming the second time as the Lion of the tribe of Judah to judge and to reign. At the close of the Great Tribulation will take place what is called the Marriage Supper of the Lamb. Now, before the Great Tribulation starts, the Lord will take home those who are truly his. Then will take place the judgment seat of Christ. Don't confuse this with the Great White Throne judgment in chapter 20 of Revelation. The judgment seat of Christ is a time when Christians will be rewarded for what they have done for the Lord since they were saved. This will be followed by the marriage supper of the Lamb. Now, the Lamb is the title given to the Lord Jesus as the sacrificial substitute for believers. God gave his Son to be the sacrifice for our sins. He's called the Lamb of God by John the Baptist, as he points him out at the beginning of his ministry. He's called the Lamb of God a number of times here in the book of the Revelation, the book containing the names of those who believe in him is called the Lamb's Book of Life. He has several titles, of course, here in this chapter. But as the Lamb, he is the Redeemer of those who are called his bride. Now this is only a figurative form of speech, of course, because we're told that the bride is actually composed of all believers from the day of Pentecost on until the return of the Lord. And if you accept the proposal of our blessed Lord Jesus, you too will be a part of this bride. There are also some others who are called or invited to the marriage supper of the Lamb in verse 9. These we believe to be the Old Testament saints and the tribulation saints who are not part of the church. The church is composed of all believers from the day of Pentecost until Christ returns. Now when the Lord Jesus appears here on this earth, he appears as a conqueror. We're told in verse 11, I saw heaven opened. This is the last of the wonderful openings in the book of the Revelation. Look them all up. They're very interesting. Heaven is opened, and behold, a white horse. This is the second white horse in Revelation. In chapter 6 and verse 2, the Antichrist comes, the usurper, sitting on a white horse. But it wasn't his right. Here is the one whose right it is to reign. And a white horse has always been the symbol of a conquering monarch. He that sat upon him was called faithful and true. And in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns, and he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron, and he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. And he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Now this describes the Lord Jesus coming to this earth as the conqueror, fighting against the beast and the false prophet, Satan's henchman, and all the armies of the world that are gathered together against him. The Lord Jesus has four titles, actually, here in this book, in this chapter, and they correspond to the four Gospels. The one in verse 11, faithful and true, reminds us of Mark. The secret name written, which identifies him as a perfect man, in verse 12, marks this as Luke's record. While in verse 13, he's called the Word of God, and John, of course, refers to him in this way. And then King of Kings and Lord of Lords in verse 16 reminds us of Matthew's record. The Lord Jesus, very plainly, is this one who appears with a sharp sword proceeding out of his mouth. Now, we're told in the book of Hebrews that the sharp sword is the Word of God. And this is the way the Lord Jesus will conquer when he comes back. The Battle of Armageddon is actually not a battle. Although the Lord Jesus is followed by all the armies of heaven, there is no actual battle, because we're told the remnant were slain with the sword of him that sat upon the horse, which sword proceeded out of his mouth. So the Lord only has to speak the word to win the final victory over the massed armies of the world. Having conquered all else, the Antichrist attempts to fight against God himself. Now the marriage supper of the Lamb is a happy, wonderful occasion. And I, for one, am glad that I'm going to be there. It's all of his grace. I deserve nothing at all. But because the Lamb of God shed his precious blood to take my sins away, I have this bright prospect of being there and of being joined to the Lord at last. But the supper at the close of this chapter, when he sees an angel standing in the sun, crying with a loud voice, saying to all the fowls that fly in the midst of heaven, come and gather yourselves unto the supper of the great God, or as the Revised Version says, the Great Supper of God. this great supper is a supper of judgment. Actually, it's a supper for the beasts and birds of Karen who will come to eat the flesh of these who were killed at this great battle of Armageddon. My friends, don't fight against the Lord Jesus. You're certain to be on the losing side of the battle. The Lord is going to conquer. God has determined that someday Christ shall reign. If you bow the knee to him now, he'll become your friend. If you're forced to bow in that coming day, when as the judge you stand before him as the judge, then you too will find your doom with these and with those who follow the beast and the false prophet. Now it says that these were taken alive, the end of verse 20, and were cast into a lake of fire burning with brimstone. According to Matthew 25 and 41, the lake of fire was created for the devil and his angels. But if you take sides with the devil, there isn't anything else left for you. Unbelievers will have to share this too, as we'll see in the next chapter. So you have to make a choice as to whether you will accept the Lord Jesus and share the future glory and blessings and happiness with him, or to take sides against him and to be judged when he comes back to this earth as the conquering lion of the tribe of Judah. I do hope you'll make a right choice. I do hope you'll take the Lord Jesus as your Savior. And if you have taken him, I hope you'll be looking forward to this wonderful day just ahead for believers. Our Father, we thank thee for thy word. We thank thee for these wonderful truths, and we thank thee for our Savior, thy Son. We pray thee to honor him just now in the salvation of many precious souls. And we pray in his precious name. Amen.